Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Pam Green, president of the Power Project Institute in Washington, D.C. She's going to be talking today about how to achieve success through people. Pam, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, let's start right off with the basic, obvious question. What is the Power Project Institute?
Well, I guess to sum it up, it would be a company that I launched back in the fall of last year after leaving a great job with the Society for Human Resource Management. And what I wanted to do was help companies achieve success through people. I didn't want to just do HR consulting. I didn't want to just label it as, motivational consulting and leadership development, but it encompasses a number of different things. And the reason why my tagline is helping companies achieve success through people is because people drive success in organizations, and they need it critically now more than ever, especially as we rebound from this economy. So we are involved in doing some consulting. I am working for a number of clients, and then I also am an executive coach. I do a lot of public speaking, a lot of keynote speeches around the country, and then I do some writing and training and development. So it's a little bit of everything that I love doing, and it gives me an opportunity to sort of spread my wings and continue to do more of the things that I love.
No, that's great. Now, you mentioned that you were originally at SHRM. So tell me a little bit about what you did there. Let's get a little bit about your background, if we could, before we launch into talking about the company. And tell me what maybe why you left, and then we can talk about what's going on.
Okay, sounds good. I went to work for SHRM in 2008 as a regional director, worked out of my home in Ohio. And about 18 months later, I was promoted to chief membership officer and stayed in that role until I left at the end of last year. Prior to that, I had worked in human resources as HR director for a number of different companies for about 17 years. And then overall, I have about 25 plus years of leadership experience in a variety of roles, including fundraising, health, safety, and security, and human resources, executive management, and you name it, public relations, just a number of different things at the leadership level, and really, really enjoyed that, I think, very challenging opportunities. And so at SHRM, what I had the opportunity to do was to stretch even more, and my responsibility as I was promoted was to lead the strategy for the growth and engagement of 260,000 plus members worldwide. It's a big job. It was a great opportunity. Some wonderful people I've met along the way, and I still keep in touch with. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and a great brand.
No, SHRM's a great organization. We've had a number of guests on here. Susan Post, of course, out here in the eastern part of the U.S., who, of course, you know. We're planning to obviously have other guests on as well. But I think one of the things that interests me is the fact that you came from a very solid HR SHRM background. And and what did that do for you? I mean, a lot of our listeners are HR professionals here, business leaders, and we talk a lot about the value of an HR organization such as SHRM or a local chapter. Tell me a little bit of how that value really helps you in your career and why you would encourage others to think about things like that.
It's really interesting because my experiences now when I speak with individuals, and I talk about this a lot when I'm on the stage speaking or delivering a keynote, is the language and the experiences of human resources are so vast, they're so broad, not anyone can do HR. And it is a critical part of the business. What I hear and what I see is this transition and this shift from just focusing on HR to focusing on the business overall. So sometimes I'll get in an audience and I have some conversation with individuals afterward, and I can immediately discern and know who's in HR and who is a business leader in another part of the organization simply by the language. And what I share with HR professionals specifically is it's important to stretch. It's important to be an HR professional, but it's really important to stretch and understand the business so that you have a broader perspective and you understand how the overall implications of what you're doing are impacting the growth and development sustainability of that organization. So working for SHRM gave me even a broader view of business, right? And when I worked in other organizations, I kind of understood how the company made money, how the company lost money, and you know, going through different recessionary periods and those kinds of things. But really understanding the business so that I could truly be a business partner is where I began to grow and stretch and develop. And working for SHRM really gave me the opportunity to partner cross-functionally across throughout the organization, and not just in my organization, but also I had to partner with our chapters and our states and partners that are in other entities that we rely on and we depend on for the growth and the sustainability of the operation. So it just really broadened my perspective and I think made me a better business leader, so that I felt when I was ready to move on that, you know, I had scooped up as much experiences and opportunities that I was afforded, and it's really impacting how I do business even today.
No, I think, you know, interestingly, I've read through your site, powerprojectinstitute.com, and one of the things you talk a lot about is building a world-class HR operation. And you talk a lot about that business mindset that you need to have. Do you want to expand a little bit on that? I know that's one of the topics you use in your speaking engagements, but it would be helpful for the audience to understand a little bit about what you mean by that.
Yeah, when I talk about building a world-class HR operation, what I'm talking about is thinking about HR as a business within the business. And there are so many things that go into it, and we get the people piece. So I don't really talk about the business side of engaging the people, because as HR professionals, we get it. What I talk about is understanding, you know, putting together models, business models that work for your company, and building a reputation inside the company as well as the industry, and doing competitive analysis so that you can see who you're competing with for talent. Sometimes it's talent for talent. Sometimes it's, you know, you're competing in different ways, and you have different ways in which we compete with other organizations. We talk about building communication strategies, and what I really focus on is that financial piece and recognizing that HR can be viewed and should be viewed in many ways as a profit center. And so how do we set up ourselves? How do we position ourselves to be viewed in a way that brings us more credibility and more respect from throughout the organization? And the only way we can do that is not to abandon, you know, our turnover reports and our headcount reports and those kinds of things, but really putting dollars and cents to some of the, I'm going to say everyday thing, but some of the things that we do that a company might not take into consideration. And so we look at the business problem and how to solve a business problem and the cost of the business problem, really costing things out and helping the company as well as others in the organization see that not only do we, you know, we contribute to the bottom line of pulling from the being an expense, but we also contribute to the bottom line in terms of revenue and how we can really impact the operation in a positive way.
You know, I think that is critical. That is really critical you talk about, because today we do hear from HR professionals, I'm sure you do as well, that they feel like they are, you know, they're maxed. They're at their max. Yeah. You know, the economy certainly isn't helping this situation. They're running on fewer people, and they have to sometimes justify themselves to the CEOs. Maybe they don't necessarily have the best seat at the table, even though ultimately you want them to, and they should strive for that, but maybe they don't. They're reporting maybe to the CFO, and they do get seen as an expense, not as you know, something that can really build an organization. So I think this is a critical point that you make.
Absolutely. And I, you know, it's tough because we expect people to get what we do as HR professionals.
Yeah,
and I think for the most part we do, and they have their idea. We have to constantly change and challenge that idea of what they think a human resource person is and what the person should be doing. So we really have to do more branding and rebranding of human resources within our operations. And that can be challenging. I've done it, and it can be really challenging to the traditional mindset of HR as the people, departments, and your problems there, training and development. But really being there to partner on business issues is critical.
So you left SHRM and you started the Power Project Institute. You brought them alive, as we like to say. And you took on this entrepreneurial role. First of all, did you find it as easy as you thought it would be, or was it a little more difficult?
Well, first, it was. I knew it was going to be challenging, David. I just didn't know how challenging. And you know what I share with people all the time? Here's how I compare it. You know, when you first move out of your parents' house, you think, I'm grown. I can do whatever I want. Now I can stay up late and all that wonderful, crazy stuff. But what you don't realize is, I need a broom and a dustpan. I need seasonings. I need salt and pepper and pots and pans and food and linen, right?
Yes.
And so what I realized was I had, I missed the support system. I missed having an IT department and a marketing department, and I miss my assistant. You know, I miss some of the daily things that we take for granted. And so now I'm everything. And I had to learn real quickly to pull on those resourcefulness skills to be able to get the things done that I needed. And I had a wonderful network of people who just, you know, Pam, this is what you need to do. These are things you need to consider. So I felt prepared. But you're never really prepared for this kind of a challenge until you actually walk into it, and it's probably one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done in my life.
No, there's no question. I remember when I bought CMA, Career Management Associates, my organization, and I remember I came out of a big company. You know, I had all the support you could possibly need, and I remember the first time I said a decision had to be made, and I went, oh, I need to call corporate. And I realized that there was no corporate. So what I did is I called from my office to my cell phone, and I literally had a conversation very quickly, back and forth. Hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? You know, it was one of those moments where that realization sets in, right? That moment of, like, truth. And and like you, I wouldn't change a thing. But, you know, it is funny when you realize it does make a difference that you have a support system, though, doesn't it? And that those key business partners that are out there that can help you through no matter what.
Exactly. And I appreciate people who are willing to just give it to you straight. You know, sometimes in corporate environment, you don't get straight talk. You know, you get corporate talk. You get corporate speak. And I love the fact that I'm dealing with people who just give it to you straight, and it helps me with my business, and I, you know, just built such good relationships. And the other thing is, there's such a nice network of people that we partner, we do things together, and so I sort of had that corporate feel, but I have a lot more freedom than to be able to do some things that I might not have been able to do in a corporate environment.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Pam Green, president of Power Project Institute. And we're having a great conversation, aren't we, Pam?
I'm having a wonderful time, David.
Good. Well, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about your history, about where you're at, and how you got where you are today. Let's talk a little bit about your project, your Power Project Institute. Tell me a little bit about it. Tell me the services. Tell me about why somebody would want to contact you, other than obviously you do work in the HR field, you speak. Tell me a little more.
Yeah, and I started talking about that a little bit when we first got started, so thanks for the opportunity. What we do is focus on helping companies, and as I said before, achieve success through people. Sometimes it's training and development, sometimes it's consulting, sometimes it's executive coaching. And so What I do is provide that resource to companies, and I usually start with a company leader who comes up to me after I've spoken, or someone who has heard about me or knows me, and they say, "Pam, this is my challenge," and I try to help work them through the challenge. But first, we assess if I'm the right person to work that can work with them. Right? I always try to find out how we can meet a person's need, and then. To see if I'm the right person, because if I'm not, then I guarantee you I can find somebody who can help you. So I try to just be a resource for business leaders. And then from there, we try to fulfill that service. So a lot of what I do is I focus a lot on working with small companies, or a lot of what I've been asked to do. It's interesting. You sort of begin to move into an area where there is a lot of demand, and right now there's demand in small companies, and some, you know, I work with a couple of global operations. Within departments, so I see a lot of focus on departmental development and departmental engagement, and I love that. So I spend a lot of time as a private consultant for some global operations.
Can you provide an example, maybe, of one of your success stories? Tell us a little bit about what happened. I think a lot of times it's great for listeners to get a real understanding of what you can make a difference in by talking about a success story, so they can follow the process and understand.
Sure. Wow, there are just a number of them. I'm trying to think. So I've worked with a company, continue to work with a company, global operation. They wanted me to come in and do some work with one of their teams, an entire department. And they were having some challenges, I think, in the area of communication, in how they communicate among one another, but also with the rest of the organization, because they were a major part, a major branch of the organization. So we focused specifically on emotional intelligence. So I've done a couple of workshops, seminars, and now coaching for this particular organization. Because once you get into emotional intelligence, you realize it's about you, and you take responsibility for your success, and that's what the most successful people are doing. And so they really wanted to adopt and are adopting this model throughout the operation, throughout the organization. And so I see it as a great success, because not only were people getting it, it was a really, really skeptical group. And they were getting it. They were making the connections between company success, their own success, and how the two can come together when they take responsibility for their success and are more self-aware and can manage themselves, et cetera, et cetera. So, and from that, I began to coach a number of individuals who needed just a little more work, a little more polish, and we're seeing a significant turnaround in that area. So that's a great, a wonderful success story. If I can tell you, share one more with you.
Of course.
I was working with an HR professional, and she was really challenged. She wanted to grow. She wanted to build. She wanted to be seen as credible and be invited to higher levels in the organization, because she felt she was already operating there. She said, "Pam, this is what I want." I said, "Okay." So we go through a number of coaching sessions. By the second session, she says she's had this intense conversation with the leader. And I said, "Well, tell me about it." She says she told the leader, "You know, I'm tired of doing all this. You've got me doing all of these different things. And, you know, I'm stepping up to the table. I'm doing all these different things that you want me to do. I feel like I should be recognized for all of the work, or, you know, get me some help, or I'm not going to be able to do these things anymore." And I said, "Can you stop for a second?" I said, "Now, didn't you just tell me a couple of sessions ago that you really want to be seen as, you know, credible, believable, reliable? You wanted to be seen as the business leader that you've been operating." So, "But what did you just tell them in your conversation? Do you think that they see you in that light based on what you said?" And so it was an eye-opening experience for her. And that, you know, to me, that was one of those moments where I really felt like, one, there was breakthrough. Two, that I was really able to help someone find success. And now she's doing really well. We check in every now and then. Our sessions have ended. We check in every now and then, and she really feels more confident. She's adopted a number of strategies that she's come up with in the coaching. And she feels very empowered and in control of her career. And she's seeing the kind of success that she wanted, because she's checking what she's saying. And what coaching and what I try to do is make people aware of things that they may not even be aware of, and what they say and what they do, so that they can find success.
No, I think that's an interesting point. You know, sometimes you mentioned it earlier in the first section that being blunt, sometimes telling them exactly what they need to hear to improve, mm-hmm. sometimes is exactly what they need. And too often we don't see that happening, even in the coaching world. You know,
right.
Sometimes individuals try to move people from a coaching perspective without necessarily being blunt and try to tweak them a little. But I happen to agree with you that I think that sometimes right in the face is where you need to be to make them really understand and show them exactly what they need to do to fix their behavior or fix their problem, whatever that may be.
Right, right. I mean, I always tell my clients, people who come to me and they say, oh, I need some coaching. I say, now here, I'm gonna share with you what I see and love.
Right.
But, you know, this is not about me making you feel good. This is about me helping you move closer to where you need to be. And unfortunately, a number of people don't get that. You know, they get to hear what they want to hear from people that are around them and that surround them, and not what they really need to hear. And they don't get that real feedback. So it's very helpful. It's very therapeutic, is what one client said to me.
Yeah, and they have to be open for it, right? I mean, this is...
They have to be
open to be willing to, A, accept constructive mm-hmm. feedback. And I think that you telling them up front is critical, because they need to understand
yes.
that you're not there to coddle. You're not there mm-hmm. to enhance their egos. You're there to actually, in a way, break them down into and remold them in a better person, in a better shape.
Exactly.
When's your next book coming out? Because I know you have 4 books on the market today.
I do. I can't seem to stop writing.
Yeah,
and people ask, when do you find time?
My
first book, which was Lead, Achieve, and Succeed in HR, I remember having a meeting with the publisher, Westcom Publishing, and Michael says, Pam, you got to let go of this book. And I said, why? I'm not, just one more thing. And he said, no, you don't have a book, you have volumes. You know, you got to stop at some point. And so I did. And so the rest of the other books that I have are part of the things that have been in me, and I've been writing for a number of years. So I finally was able to get a number of them published. So I have the Brace Yourself for White Young Professionals, which really takes them into how to be successful from their perspective and really give them some insights into things that they can do, because they're just so bright, so bright. So many people that are young professionals, and we have to adopt to their new style. So that's what that book is about. And then The Power of Engagement is for leaders who need to think about different strategic ways of engaging their performers and retaining them. And then I have The Power to Prioritize, and that's my baby. That's my second baby. That one's about setting priorities and achieving goals. And then I'm working on my it'll be hot off the press by probably August, but I'm working on a book that is about individuals who have multiple skills, multiple talents, and how they're being underutilized, how mm-hmm. they can become more utilized, and how companies can really begin to engage those individuals. So that one's like my third baby. I'm really, really excited about that one as well.
No, that's great. And certainly, you know what? We'll have you back on when your book breaks, okay? So you let me know when that is, and we can talk about it. No, it's
absolutely
awesome. You know, I saw you speak at the main HR convention here back just a couple months ago here. And I got to tell you that you did a great job. So I can speak honestly that it was a great show. You did a great job up there. And, of course, I don't know if you've ever spoken at the Main HR Convention before, but Bud does a great job. And Law Publishers is a sponsor of the show as well. And I'm not just saying that because of it, but they do a fantastic job at conventions. They really do.
Yeah, it was a machine. It was perfect. I mean, it was run, you know, honestly, like a SHRM conference. And I was really very proud of the work that he had done and the team had done. It was so nicely done, so well done, but thank you.
No, you're very welcome. So, you know, we have a couple minutes left here, and you know what I'd like to do is, why don't you provide us with a couple of examples maybe of where you think you see HR today going in the engagement area, because obviously that's one of the areas you talk about, and I'd love to know your thoughts on where you see employee engagement over the next year or so.
Wow, that's a really really, really good question. I have a research report that I did, and it actually should be on shelves now, but it's called the Engagement Outlook. And specifically, I had a team of folks. We went out. We surveyed well over 500 business leaders and HR professionals at the end of last year, because I wanted to know that the answer to that specific question. And what's interesting is what came out of it was that HR professionals are highly taxed. They know they have to focus on talent engagement and retention and satisfaction. However, they're not getting the resources that they need, and they're not sure how to get those resources. And so other things, more pressing things, seem to be creeping up and cropping up for them. So my concern, and when I wrote this particular research report, my concern was, how do we get them to see that there are ways to get the resources you need, keep it in the forefront, while also achieving some of your other responsibilities? So I think in the next year we're going to see either a couple of different things. I think we'll see some organizations who get engagement, the importance of engagement. They, you know, they're quickly going to adopt, and you don't have to worry about them. They'll get it. They'll put the resources behind it. And others, it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge. I think talent will sort of take care of itself. It'll figure its way out. And I really anticipate that we're going to see even greater turnover as we see the economy rebound. From an engagement perspective, I really believe that HR professionals are going to have to, although I know a number of them already are, help to put the message out front that engagement is so important to the future and the sustainability of the operation. So I think in the coming couple of years, we're going to see even greater emphasis. But what has to happen, and unfortunately this is what has to happen, is sometimes that best talent, that the most talented person, has to leave the organization, and then others will leave, and then they'll get it. So I'm hoping that won't happen. I'm hoping I'm wrong. But I do think that we're going to see some turnover of major proportion in some operations.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. And certainly we're seeing on the recruiting side a huge surge in talent looking. And that's mm-hmm. that's just the way it is. I mean, that people have been holding off for a couple of years due to the economy, and now they're, you know, we used to call in as recruiters and ask, you know, would you be interested in talking to us about, and they go, well, I'm not quite sure, you know, I've been here a while, I got it pretty good, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Now it's, would you like to talk? Yes, what do you got? I mean, you don't even get to finish the sentence. You know, the sentence doesn't even get to finished. You know, boom, what do you got? I'm like, oh, wow.
No
need to be so quick on the trigger. But, yes, we'll be happy to tell you what we got. You know, it is.
Yeah, business
it's
is
true.
Good for you.
Yeah, no, I'm not complaining. But, you know, mm-hmm. from that standpoint, it is something that we have to be aware of. Well, Pam, I want to thank you very much for being on the HR Power Hour today. And certainly after this broadcast at the HRPowerHour.com. We will have a link directly to you and to your website and so forth. But if somebody wants to reach you directly, is there a number they can reach you? A website, obviously, I can tell you it's powerprojectinstitute.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is the number?
And the phone, yes, the phone number is 202-293-4965.
Fantastic.
And thank you, David.
Oh, you're very welcome. This was great. And hope to see you again soon. And let us know when the new book is coming out, okay?
I will absolutely do that. You take care.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.